verses 18 to 4, verse 1 is the passage that we're dealing with. In this portion of this letter, Paul is dealing with family relations. And in the Roman world, the household included all those who were responsible to the head of the house. And in the household, we see a father, we see a mother, and we see children. But here in Colossians, we also see servants or slaves. Servants were included in the family. And because this letter was read in the church, we can see that mothers, fathers, children, and servants are addressed all together as the letter is read publicly in the church. This means that Christian servants, Christian slaves, went to church together with Christian masters. And we have an example of that in our own Bible. In the letter to Philemon, we see a servant, a slave, Onesimus, who was a Christian, and Philemon, who was a slave owner, both were part of the church of Colossae. This text that we see here, we'll read it together. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And we'll just skip to 4:1. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you have a master in heaven. You can see, just by a casual reading, you can see that there's a structure here, isn't there? It's about duty. This text is about duty. It's about duty of wives to husbands, of husbands to wives. It's about duty of children to parents and parents to children. It's about duty of servant to master, master to servant. We see the wife's duty to the husband in verse 18. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. And then we see the reciprocal. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. This morning, we want to focus on verse 20, which says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Next week, Lord willing, we'll deal with the reciprocal part of that. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, so they will not lose heart. So today, Colossians 3:20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Josie? Juliana? Jacob? Caleb? Joshua? Jordan? Jared? Anna? Is that right? Elizabeth? Aaron? Eden? Eva, this is a sermon for you. And, forgot, two others. This is a message. For children. This is a message because God is speaking to children and speaking to children in the church. The fruit of marriage is children. And Paul brings a word in the church to the children of the church. See how the children are addressed, not just parents? This is a letter read publicly, and Paul addresses the children. He says, Juliana, Elizabeth, obey your parents in the Lord. So, how are we going to look at this text? I'm going to look at it in talking to children, and I'm going to also mix in some exhortations to you as a parent, and some things to follow for all of us. So bear with me as we work through this text. So, the duty of children to parents. Okay, children, are you listening? This is your duty to your mom and dad. That comes from God. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You see, the obligation that God is putting on you, little children, your responsibility, you are to obey mommy and daddy. Paul says two things. In all things, and he says, when you do, this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So what does Paul mean when he says, obey your mommy and daddy in all things? Does that mean in everything? That means in everything. You see, when you get older, you're going to learn about a thing we call loopholes. And you'll learn that very quickly in your life. And we're very good at it. And because of who we are and being people, creatures of sin, we get very smart at creating loopholes. And then if you're smart enough to start your own business, you have all kinds of loopholes where you can save money, right? And even avoid taxes. But for you, there are no loopholes when you obey mommy and daddy. You see, your obedience, children, is not an obedience that you obey when you feel like obeying. Or you obey when you say, yeah, I agree with that, so therefore I will obey. Paul says, no, your obedience has to be in all things. It's not on what you feel. It's what God tells you to do. Mom and Dad, listen to this quote from Ted Tripp. The call to submit to mom and dad is a call to trust God rather than self. Self tells your child not to submit. Self says, do what you want, when you want, and how you want. We're going to get into that in a moment, children. I want you to just, even if you don't understand that, I'll show you that in a minute. But for mom and dad, the call to submit to mom and dad is the call to trust God rather than self. Self tells your child not to submit. Self says, do what you want, when you want, and how you want. You're to say, no, you obey mom and dad in all things. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, today I want to teach you about authority, because this is what this text is all about. It's about authority. Children of Providence and mom and dad, I want to teach you about authority because this is what the Bible says. It's about God's authority. It's about the authority God has given to parents. Listen, children, to this. The call of God upon all his creatures is to live under authority. Of course, God is the authority above all things. But God has built this world and he has given authority to groups of peoples, to people, to leaders, and to different structures that you're going to grow up in as you live in this world. For example, God has given authority to our governments. To our governments. People who run our country. Paul says in Romans 13, 1 and 2, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. God has vested authority in all aspects of our world. Authority is everywhere in our world. We have, for example, authorities in business. When you, children, when you grow up and and decide if you're going to have a career, if you're going to be a carpenter or a lawyer or a doctor, or if you're going to be a business person, or if you're going to be a pastor, or if you're going to be a missionary, whatever God's call in your life, you're going to find yourself sitting under authority. In business, God gives us managers and supervisors. In education, we had principals and deans and professors and teachers. In health, we have doctors, and in legal cases, we have authorities on law. And we learn to trust them and submit to them if we're going to live our lives. Without authority, there would be chaos. We would all want to do what is right in our own eyes. But God has structured our world that our world is based upon authority. God has invested authority in the workplace, for example. Slaves, be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh. He's invested authority in the church in Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. So there. They keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. We know that we need authority. We need authority for organization, for structure, for things to work. But our world is a fallen world and a sinful world. And so many a times, authority fails us. And so we don't trust. And we struggle with submitting to authority. But we also struggle to submit to the authority because of our own sinful hearts. Because we want to be autonomous. Children, obey your parents in all things. You see, God has made your mommy and daddy's authorities over you. So you see, children, God is the one who assigns authorities over all of us. And he assigns authority in the life that we live in. In your family, mom and dad are your authority. You must obey them. In obeying them, you are obeying God. Remember what Paul said. This is well-pleasing to God. Children of Providence, if you want to please God, you must learn to obey mom and dad. Respect them and honor them. And respect and honor the authority that they have over you. Mom and dad, this is for you. Okay? Mom and dad, God has placed you in authority. You have been called by God to direct your children on God's behalf for their good. You must, listen, mom and dad, you must require obedience from your children because they are called by God to obey you. If God says to your child, obey your mother and father, and you as a parent do not require obedience from them, then you are sinning against God. Because God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So your function as a parent is to allow them to keep that commandment. So you must take on that responsibility to become an authority so your child can obey God. Does that make sense? But in our culture, we are afraid of authority. For us, authority is a bad thing. But mom and dad, it's not. Trust God. Your responsibility to your children is with authority to instruct them and train them on how to obey. In so doing that, your child will learn to obey the authority who is over you and over them. That is God. But if you don't want to take on the responsibility of authority, how can your child learn about obedience? But there's a spirit behind your authority. Ted Tripp says, the purpose of your authority in the lives of your children is not to hold them under your power, but to empower them to be self-controlled people living freely under the authority of God. You see, your authority does not point to yourself. Your authority is meant to point them to God. Because that's the whole purpose of the commandment. In obeying their parents, they are obeying God. You cannot just take them to obey mommy and daddy. That's the truth. But the commandment comes from the authority of God. And your child must learn that when I obey mom and dad, I'm looking past mom and dad and saying, I'm obeying God. So mom and dad, you are authorities. You're not taskmasters, but you're parents who love your children. You must be kind to your children. It's quite amazing in John chapter 13, Jesus said he knew that all authority had been given to him of God. And right after it says that about Jesus, Jesus got up, he took a towel, he poured some water in a bowl, and he went around and started washing his disciples' feet. Jesus knew all authority had been given unto him. And he takes a towel and water and washes his disciples' feet. Why would Jesus do that? Because he wanted his disciples who were under his authority to learn how to serve God. Ted Tripp again says, children rarely run from a home where their needs are met. Who would want to walk out of a relationship in which he feels loved and respected? What child would run away from someone who understands him, understands God and his ways, understands the world and how it works, and is committed in helping him to be successful? And here's what he says. My observation after 30 years of school administration, parenting, pastoral work, and counseling is that children generally do not resist authority that is truly kind and selfless. And when you look at Jesus, that's exactly the way he was. He was full of authority. He had all authority. And yet, he was kind and selfless. So mom and dad, teaching your children to submit to authority is a wonderful opportunity for you to shepherd your child into a relationship with God. God has commanded your children to obey you. That is God's command to them. Your responsibility is to teach your children that as creatures in God's world, they must learn, just like you, mom and dad, they must learn to submit to the good and wise God in all things. In all things. Children, Elizabeth, you know what? I got something else to teach you. So we learned about authority. Josh, we learned about authority, didn't we? But I want to teach you two other things about obedience. We have to learn about authority. But we have to learn to listen. People in authority give instruction. They give direction to those who they are authority over. You as a child, and all of us, we have to learn how to listen when we're under authority. And secondly, children, so important, not only do you have to learn how to listen, you have to learn about your heart. You say, well, how does that have to do with obeying mom and daddy? You'll see. First of all, learn to listen. Listening is a very important skill that God has given to all of us. We must learn how to listen. And the first step in learning to listen is to know why we need to listen. Why? Why do I need to listen? Children, you need to ask yourself that question. Why do I need to listen? And this is the answer. We listen to obtain information, we listen to understand, and we listen to learn. Children, inside of your head are many thoughts. You can hear many conversations in your head. Maybe some of you are hearing conversations right now. Maybe you're hearing conversations about a toy that you played with, about a coloring book, or maybe you have memories of yesterday and you're thinking about those right now in your head. I'm talking to you right now and I have conversations in my head. There are many voices in our heads. There are many thoughts going through our mind. There are all kinds of conversations going on, even when people are talking to you. Is that true? I see some of you smiling because I don't know where your brain is, but it's not on this message right now. There's all kinds of conversations that go on in our brain. You have to teach yourself to listen because of that. You have to learn how to silence a lot of things, to put them to rest, to stop and pause and concentrate, to gather information, to gather understanding. We have to work hard to listen. Children, listening is very, very important. God said to Israel, he said this, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform." You see, God commands Israel to listen. And why did God command Israel to listen? Because he was going to instruct them. He was going to give them statutes and commandments, instructions on for their good and how to live. And he told them, the first thing, he didn't just start giving them commandments. The first command God gave was, listen. Listen. Children, listen. Big people, listen. God said, listen, and then God gave instruction. There's a story in the Bible of a little boy. And his name was Samuel. It's a nice story. I like telling the story about Samuel. Samuel was a little boy that his parents dedicated him to God. And Samuel, just a small little boy, he went and lived in church with a priest called Eli. He lived in the temple. And Samuel, he had his mother made him a nice little coat. And he lived with Eli the priest. And he was going to learn about God. And one day, Samuel went to bed. And he just went to bed. He was going to lie down, have a nice little sleep. But God came to Samuel. And God said, Samuel. Well, Samuel jumped out of bed. And he ran over to Eli. And he said, yes, Father Eli. Well, Father Eli was sleeping. Not sleeping in church, are you, brother? Eli was sound asleep, and Samuel ran over to Father Eli, and Eli jumped out of bed. What do you want? And rubbing his eyes. He said, well, Samuel said, you called for me? Eli said, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed. So Samuel, he goes back to bed. He's sleeping, he's snoring too. Samuel, God called him. Samuel runs over to Eli the priest. Yes, Father Eli. Eli jumps out of bed. What are you doing, Samuel? I didn't say anything. You go back to bed. Samuel goes back to bed. He goes to sleep. God says, Samuel. Well, Samuel jumps up. He runs to Eli. But, ooh, I'm afraid now. But he runs to Eli. Says, yes, Father Eli. And Father Eli said, I may be God is speaking. He says, Samuel, if you hear the voice, he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So little Samuel went to bed and he closed his eyes and he heard, Samuel. And Samuel looked up and he said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You see, Samuel gave God his ear. And when you live under authority, you live under God, when you live under your mommy and daddy, when they speak, you have to learn to give them your ear. You have to learn to listen. To listen. Remember I said earlier about self? Self is the voice in you that says, I want, I like, I don't like, I'm busy. Right? So when your mom and dad says, Josie, or when they say, Jacob, and you have a voice saying into you, yeah, just a moment, I'm doing something. Or you hear the instruction and you go, I'm not in the mood for that right now. That's going on in your mind. That is your self speaking. Now, when you recognize yourself, what you're recognizing is your heart. The voice you hear talking in you is your heart. This is your spirit that says, I will obey if I want to obey. I will obey when I want to obey. I will obey when it's convenient for me to obey. That's that little voice that you hear. That's what you struggle with. That is your heart. That's your little selfish voice. And that's the voice that has trouble submitting to authority. Because our hearts always want to do what we want to do. It always wants to decide what is true and what is wrong. So when God comes in his authority and says, this is the right way to live, there's something in us that says, I don't know if it is or isn't. If it's something I like, we say, yeah, praise God, that's a good way to live. But if we decide we're not in the mood that day to follow it, we hear that voice that says, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have. Who are they to tell me what is right and what is wrong? You can learn that yourself. That's that voice that we hear. Little children, you must learn to listen. You must learn to listen. You must learn to discern. You must learn to push away and silence those things so that you can hear instruction. When you hear the selfish voice of self, you'll learn how rebellious your heart is. And that brings us to the next point. You see, Mom and Dad, just before we move to the next point, you got to show grace when you're giving instruction as well. You want your children to listen. Your child is busy, let's say, watching a movie that you allowed them to watch. And they're really into it, just like you get into stuff. And they're right into the movie. And you walk up to them, and you expect them to turn everything off like that? Like, you've got to give some grace period there, right? Like, if you're giving command to your child, and they're busy doing something, and you say, I want you to listen. Well, that's cruel. That's cruel, because you don't like it when people do it to you. If you're totally absorbed in something, can you just switch that off instantly and say, yes, can I help you? No, you need time, right? You need time to break away from what you were doing to get yourself organized and say, okay, I'm ready to listen. As a parent, give grace to your child. Give grace to your child. Just look at them, calm them down if you have to. Say, look at me. Get their mind straightened out, and then give instruction. Because if you catch them rare than misery of something busy and all, their mind is all busy and going on, and you give the instruction, and they'll go, and then you walk away and they don't do it. You say, well, why didn't you do it? I remember once, a long time ago, I'm not going to share that. No, I don't want to. No. The last time I did that, the children came up to me and said, tell me other stories about when you were bad. So I don't want to do that. But little children and moms and dads, when you learn to listen, you have to learn to just calm yourself down. Silence yourself inside. Calm yourself down so that you can listen, okay? But when you're listening, you also learn about your heart. And that brings us to our second point. It's not just listening. Mom and Dad, God doesn't want you just to have children who listen to you. If that's all obedience is, then we failed. We failed. Now I'm going to show you an example of someone who failed. Someone who failed. Someone who listened and someone who failed, even after they listened. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Joash, children, listen to this. Little Joash, he was 7 years old when he became a king. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah from Beersheba. And Joash did what was right in the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. In 2 Kings 12:2 it says, and Joash did right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So here you have it, children. There's this little boy, Joash. He's 7 years old. Some of you are 7 years old. Joash was 7 years old, and he became a king. Now, a little boy 7 years old, he can't rule a kingdom. But there was this faithful priest named Jehoiada, and he instructed little Joash. He told him what a king must do to honor God. So little Joash, he's growing up, and he's listening to this godly priest. He's listening to him. We know he did. It says, now it came about after this that Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. He gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah, collect money for all of Israel, prepare the house of your God annually, and you shall do the matter quickly. And when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada the priest, and it was made into utensils for the house of the Lord, utensils for service and burnt offerings, pans and utensils, gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. So here's Joash is a king, and he says, I want the house of God to look nice and beautiful. I want people to come and worship. And Jehoiada called for the priest, and the priest, they got all the resources together, and they made God's home beautiful, and people would love and come and worship there. Joash listened, and Joash pleased God there. But then the old priest Jehoiada died. Now when Jehoiada was a ripe old age, he died. He was 130 years old in his death. But something happened when Jehoiada died. But after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and they served the Asherim and the idols. Isn't that amazing? King Joash, children, listen up. King Joash listened to the priest, and he served God. But when the priest died, King Joash gave his ears to people who said, we can worship other gods. And he followed them. So yes, he learned to listen. But he learned to listen without a changed heart. When we looked at Joash under Jehoiada, he looked like such a godly person. He was doing things that pleased God. He was obeying Jehoiada the priest. But when Jehoiada the priest died, Joash listened to unbelievers and followed them. You see, because he wasn't careful. He learned how to listen, but he didn't learn to ask God, God, change my heart so I can be obedient. Children, you need that in your life. You need a new heart. You just don't need to listen to mommy and daddy. You need a new heart to learn to obey. God has a promise to you. He's got a promise to every one of us here. God says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Children, you can have that heart. When you give yourself to believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus can help you to learn to obey. He can. He can teach you. He can teach you because if you're listening to God, you're also listening to your own heart. And if you're listening to your heart, you're going to hear sinful thoughts. If you start listening to your heart, you're going to say, "Oh, I'm disobedient. I'm disobedient even when mommy and daddy aren't talking to me. I've got a disobedient heart." Sometimes little children, we don't know what to do with that. We don't know what to do. Now we're afraid of God, and we're afraid to talk to mommy and daddy because we say, "I have to hide this from them because my heart is evil and I don't know what to do." And God says, "You believe in my Son and your sins will be forgiven, and I will work in you to change your heart. I will work in you to change your heart." And mom and dad, instruction for you, all right? The central focus of childbearing is to bring your children to a sober assessment of themselves as sinners. Did you know that? That doesn't sound... You don't get that in too many parenting books in the bookstore, do you? But it is true. They must understand the mercy of God who offered Christ as a sacrifice for sinners. How is that accomplished? You must address the heart at the fountain of behavior and the conscience as the God-given judge of right and wrong. The cross of Christ must be central focus of your childhood. Your children need to learn about the cross of Christ. They do. That's how they will learn to obey. You want your child to live a life that is embedded in the rich soil of Christ's gracious work. The focal point of your discipline and correction must be your children seeing that their utter inability to do the things of God requires, unless they know, the help and strength of God. You see, we tell big people, "You're not good enough. You cannot serve God. You need to be saved. Stop relying on your own self-righteousness." But as parents, we do the opposite. We tell children, "You obey, you must obey, you can obey." And children are sitting there saying, "I can't obey." Yes, I can obey, but if the Holy Spirit has touched a little child and he begins to see his heart, he's saying, "I can't obey because I find myself bad even in bed when there's nobody around." And if you're not teaching your child about the gospel, about Christ, they'll be frustrated and lost. I just want to finish up reading here. He says, the focal point of your discipline and correction must be your children seeing their utter inability to do the things that God requires unless they know the help and strength of God. Your correction must hold the standard of righteousness as high as God holds it. God's standard is correct behavior flowing from a heart that loves God and it's God's glory as the sole purpose of life. This is not native to your children, nor to you as parents. Discipline exposes your child's inability to love his sister from his heart, or generally to prefer others before himself. Discipline leads to the cross of Christ, where sinful people are forgiven. Sinners who come to Jesus in repentance and faith find grace and mercy. Jesus' redemptive work entails forgiveness, internal transformation, and empowerment to live new lives. We cannot withhold that from our children. You see, to teach them to obey, children, to learn to obey, you need to learn about authority. You need to learn that there is authority over my life. And you need to learn that mommy and daddies are authorities over your life. We need to learn also to listen. We need to learn to listen and to silence all the voices. Sometimes the voices are innocent voices, like just being busy and active. We have to take a breath and calm down so we can receive the instruction and learn. But sometimes the voice we hear is the voice of our sinful heart, fighting, rebelling. One little boy, I think it's in this book, the example, one little boy, his father said, "You sit down." And the little boy sat down. He said, "Yeah, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Right? He was sitting down on the outside. Yes, he followed instruction, but on the inside, he was still standing up. And we have to fight that. And when we fight it, we learn that's our heart. And when we learn about our heart, we learn about sin, we learn that we need forgiveness and that we need a new heart. Mom and Daddy, your instruction, your whole instruction and discipline and teaching your children to obey, you have to teach them that, not just to listen, but you have to bring them further and say, you cannot listen properly without God's help. And pray with your children for a new heart and that they would love Jesus, right, Elizabeth? And we would love him and pray to him and trust him to change our heart. Mom and Dad, we need that in our families. And you need it in your life. And some of you need that in your life here. You need to trust God. For some of you, God's authority, you're afraid of it. And you want to know something? I've been a pastor and a Christian for a long time. And I'm afraid of God's authority. Because there's something in us that the only authority we trust is ourselves. God says, "Israel, I give you my commandments, not for your harm, but for your good." You see, salvation is trusting that all that God has for us is right and true and good. It's right and true and good. Faith lays hold upon God's authority. Even when we say, "Lord, I'm not trusting, I don't believe, but I'm hanging on to it anyway." Faith goes beyond our sinful heart. Faith gives our ear to God. Faith lays hold upon God and follows his instruction, trusting that God gives us everything for our good. Are you trusting? Are you believing? Are you holding on to God? Children, obey your mommy and daddy, for this is pleasing to God. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for the King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power thou shalt choose, every power thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. And take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee. That's the kind of spirit and the obedience that God wants. Just loving him, trusting him, giving ourselves away to him. And we learn it by honoring His authority, by listening to His voice, and by having a new heart. Mom and Dad, do you have that? Do you have that with your God? People of Providence, do you have that with your God? Is that where you're at in your obedience? And Mom and Dad, you raise your children and lead them in that direction. Amen. God bless you.